Life is like a coin. You have the heads, you got the tails, which, you know, we want to be on the head side, right? And we have the tails. Sometimes we're given tail, the tail of life, right? The end part. But there's also the life on the edge of the coin, which sometimes we live on the edge of life. Now, I'm not talking about the soap opera, The Edge of Life. My goodness, that was just so... I never watched soap operas when I was younger. Still don't do now, and I won't go down that rabbit trail. But Jesus understands us because we are his friends. And the title of this message is The Friends of Jesus. Now, in order for us to continue in his fellowship to be his friends, we looked at last week on how we can become fruitful, or Jesus is saying this in John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 11. We looked at how Jesus says, I am the vine and we are the branches. Without that, you can do nothing. You know, a person I talked to likes to work on his car this morning, and, you know, he's got the mechanical smarts. Some people are like, you know what? I don't need a manual to tell me how to fix something. I've met guys like that before, and they can do it. But, you know, with Christ and his word, he gives us the how-tos, how to do things. And yesterday we looked at how do we become more fruitful, and three areas that we looked at, because he is the vine, we want to bear fruit. And number one, we need to abide in Christ. That word abide is mentioned 10 times. We looked at that last week. That means to have a close communion, a close fellowship, a close mental capacity, spiritual capacity. And, of course, he understands our physical capacity. And bless your heart, people that come here, you know, and they struggle coming here, and they have a hard time coming here. Bless your hearts. And there's something going around in the community, so be careful. So we need to abide in him. And then second of all, we looked at how to become fruitful. We need to be lifted up in Christ. And so as grapes and on the vine, they would use these large rocks that would lift up the vines to keep off mildew, insects, and parasites, and so on and so forth. So you had that where you were lifted up in Christ, and also they had the trellises as well. So Christ lifts us up. We need to be abide, lifted up. And thirdly, we looked at we need to be pruned. Nobody likes to be pruned because it hurts. You know, botanists have told us that plants have feelings, you know. And so when they get cut back, we come back in the, what, in the fall time / springtime, to help what? Bear more fruit. And we need to be fruitful. Say, okay, well, I need to be fruitful, and I need to show that to other people and to Christ and myself. So we need to also trim back the anger, the selfishness, the pride, the resentment. So we left off last week, okay, Lord, what do you need to prune back in my life? And it's hard, and it hurts, and it's, you heard the saying, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Well, I would add on to that, you know, when it, the tough get going, the tough have to claim Christ in their life, because Christ went through it all. He is everything to us. He is the best of the best, and nothing can compare to him at all. Now, Jesus is saying this, and for us to abide in that vine, this is like a continuation of verses 1 through 11, we also need to be obedient. Look at verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy, verse in chapter 15, that your joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. So we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected in fellowship, in prayer, and coming out to church so we can exhort one another, because the day is what? In Hebrews 10:25, because the day is fast approaching. Christ is coming back. And so we want to be with Christ once, so we are encouraged. And so we'll grow in his grace and knowledge. So we have to be obedient to that, to his word. Without the word, we'd be floundering all over the place. You ever seen a fish out of the water? He flounders all over the place. He's looking for water. Okay? So you put the fish back in the water, and he can get back on his life. Without Christ, we're like that. So God wants us to enjoy our life so our joy may be full. And you know what? He's given us the opportunity. You know, it was really tough yesterday. Talked to some folks here at church, and actually it was a tough day for me yesterday. I don't know why, but it just felt like somebody just took all the energy out of me. And I was thinking to myself, okay, Lord, you're my best friend. I love you. And I'm going to try to still stay focused on you. Sometimes it's very hard to stay focused. It's like driving down the highway and there's a lot of fog. You got to slow down. You got to slow down so you don't hit the cars up ahead of you. You got to slow down and you got to think and take your time. Get over in the slow lane. That's how it was yesterday. But God continued to keep that fellowship with me. And I was praying for you all because I'm sure you all were going through likewise trials as much. If it wasn't yesterday, it was earlier this week. If it wasn't last week, it probably will be this week. So Jesus is saying here, hey, I want you to be my friend. It's interesting. I'll get to this here in a minute. Verse 12 says here, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, Christ loves his people. He loves them. You know, when you have a friendship with somebody, and it's such as, let's say, you looked at the different apostles. You had Paul, Jude, and Peter, and James. They were all bond slaves. They called them that in the Bible, at the beginning of their letters. And a bond slave was not just a slave. You had different levels of slave, but a bond slave was somebody who was actually brought into the family, just as it was like a branch being grafted onto the tree, okay? Just like the church was. And so you had a bond slave who only knew so much about what went on with the head of the house, which was the man of the house. And so, but you also had a friend. Jesus is our friend. Do you realize that if you are now sons of God, okay, you are now a friend of God. You actually understand the Master's mind. Jesus is sharing his mind, his intimate thoughts. We have our intimate thoughts with Christ daily. The bond slave did not have that privilege back in the day. They did not share those intimacies there, even though you were a free slave. But now Christ calls you friend. I love you. And Jesus said early in John chapter 14, he says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. In other words, it's the mind of Christ in us. It gives us what? The hope for the glory of God. Why? Because we want to glorify Christ. So it says here, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And I have to turn over here to in John, 1 John chapter 3. By this we know that we love because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so, but whosoever of this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts him up in his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So God is saying, as I have loved you and laid down my life for you, you should lay down your lives for one another. And there has been stories of people laying down their lives for one another because we already know where we're going to be. We already know where we're going to go when we die to be with the Lord. So absent from the body, present with the Lord. So moving on here, we see that we need to have love for each other in verses 12 and 13. Verse 13 says, greater love that no one than this, that they lay down one's life for his friends. And so going back in years time when the church first started, and going back in the apostolic church, that was the time when John had written the book of Revelation. Already up to that point, there had been hundreds of thousands of Christians that had lost their life. And John realized this, and he was writing to the churches. We're looking at that in Sunday school right now, writing to the different churches that in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we look at one church, was Pergamos, which they in turn, they held fast. They held fast. Regardless of the pagan onslaught that was going on in their town. And so the church basically had a track record of being faithful. And there were those who did not follow Christ, who gave in to the church system, to the papal church system eventually, as we're going into the end of beginning of chapter 3, Thyatira. And so that love should be continued on. Verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So it was a command, not a forceful command. When Jesus loves us, we are reminded that he also chose us. He foreknew what was going to happen. We look back here in John chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. It says this, that John chapter 13, 17 and 18 says this, that if you know these things, blessed are you that do them. I do not speak concerning all of you, for I know whom I have chosen, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And he who eats his bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. There are some people today who've had the gospel given to them that they chose not to follow Christ. Remember what happened in that passage there is referring to Judas. Christ chose Judas, but Judas did not choose Christ. So we look at that today, that when we are friends of Jesus, there are no lines connecting us or things that we have to do. That when it comes to salvation, we have a choice. You know, it's not of works that we're saved, but it's by grace through faith. Judas chose not to follow Christ. And so as we see here that Jesus says here, greater love has no one than this, that one to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You would do whatever I have commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You know, it's interesting. Charles Spurgeon said at one time, he says, it's a good thing that God chose me before I was born, because he would have never chose me afterwards. You know, I can agree to disagree with that. I would think that God foreknew, he knew what we would be when we were born. And it's interesting with the disciples that they came from all different types of backgrounds, fishermen, tax collector, and all on. And he said, you know, if I chose you, follow me. He said that to Peter and John while they were fixing the nets. Follow me. They could have just said, no, I don't choose you today. God has given us a free will to be his friend. You know, when we have friendships, we usually have an inner circle and we have an outer circle. And we let those people in whom we trust, whom we truly know as a friend to our personal lives. And then we have the associates. We have those people that we are associated with. But Jesus lets us into what he's thinking with the Father, that he has fellowship with. The Holy Spirit communes with us as well. So we have actually the Godhead that's dwelling within us, because Jesus said, if you follow me as I follow the Father, we'll be as one. And so we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us today. So we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to be able to understand those things that God has for us when he calls us a friend. And, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. How many times has he been able to speak to us through our conscience and through our mind and saved us from having accidents and has led us through the straight and narrow and has helped us to make good decisions and has sharpened our mind so that we can be sharp and understand with the word of God like a two-edged sword, that this is what God convicts me to do. This is what I need to do. This is what God has called me to do. And Jesus has called those 11 disciples at this time his friends. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said at one time, a real friend, they said, you know, I can only count maybe 5 people in my lifetime that have been really close friends, that if I called them right now, they would be right there for me on the spot. It doesn't necessarily be family members or work people from the workplace. It may not even be people from church. But there are very few people that we can actually call close friends. And the number one spot is, and that was what one person told me, is Jesus. He is always there for us. So regardless, and I thank God too, because I can see Christ in a lot of us. And even on the people online, don't worry, you know, I know you're there, because people told me they can't make it to church. I'm preaching to them too. But I can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. I see Christ working in you. Just your character, your mannerisms, just, you know, it's that love. As so much as I loved you, I abide in you. You are the branch that abides in the vine. So there's that grace, that loving kindness, and then also that we see Christ in us. We also see the Father. We see the Spirit in us. And then, of course, verse 16 says here, says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. It's interesting that God chose, that God meant, that did not mean, excuse me, that God sent some people to hell, other people to heaven. God chose, God knew beforehand, in his foreknowledge, he would come to know him. You have an example in Isaiah 45:4. God chose Israel. The turn there. And they are, as it is, his friends. He called even Abraham, the father of the beginning, in James chapter 2, his friend. You know, when you have God calling you his friend, that just blows my, I mean, that just means everything to me. Verse 4 says, and 45 says, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, and even though I called you by your name, and I have named you, through you have not known me. So God foreknew, he foreknew about Israel. He foreknew that he would become a friend of Israel. You know, we looked at that magazine, Friends of Israel. We need to pray for Israel. We need to continue to pray for Israel. They're constantly on the news. You need to pray for many things. Then also God had elected angels as well. God foreknew that too, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. It says, charge you before Paul, before God, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Charge you before God, Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing partiality. We can't take apart the Word of God and leave some over here and some over here. Obviously, he's talking about favoritism in that context. But he's saying before the elect angels, even when the angels, the sons of God, were created, God foreknew that too. He knew about Israel. He knew about the angels, those who rebel because of pride. We know of one angel that was lifted up because God made him perfect wisdom, music, and beauty. And he decided he wanted to become God. Well, God foreknew that. He knew whose angels would follow who. And God knows who his friends are and who isn't. And God also foreknew about people too. He foreknew about that as well. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, it says this here as well. It says that for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive and possible even the very elect. That means at the end days and the end times come, many people will be deceived by many false Christs. And many people will turn to these false messiahs, except for us who are not. If it were possible, we would have been deceived too, but God has elected us. God foreknew. Okay, again, he did not call some people to hell and other people to heaven, but he foreknew. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's comforting to know that God foreknew before the beginning of time who would be his. It's comforting to know that God foreknew in the future who will be his. So doesn't that give us comfort today? That he knows who are his, Israel, who are his angels, and who are his today. Don't let the world throw you off, because God has a plan here. Verse 16, and he knows that we are his friends. It says here, that even though the Bible does say that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that's Jesus Christ. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So in the continuation here in this context of John chapter 15, we said last week, they were probably walking by the Mount of Olives, saw there were vineyards everywhere. There were olive trees everywhere. Economically, they did very well there. And Christ was looking at the vineyard and he was saying, I can tell you by your fruit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 says this. Says that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, he is saying here, look, I want you to be filled with my fruit. What is the fruit? It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's being filled with his gifts of his righteousness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. Christ wants us to be filled with his fruit. And he wants us to use that for the praise and honor and glory that is only given to him, that is due to him. So, as we look here, that, we want to bear good fruit. We want people to see the fruit in our lives. Moving on to verse 16, it says here, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You should go bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you ask my Father's name that he may give you. So God wants us to have lasting fruit. God wants us, as I talked to an elderly couple before church, we laughed about it. We said, you know what? We have done enough maybe to live three lifetimes. Some of you have lived at least three lifetimes in one lifetime because you've done so much. You've been through so much. And bless your heart. And some of you are going through so much right now that, you know, some people, they never seems like life is just perfect for them. They never have any problems. But it's good enough. You know, God wants us to take that experience and that knowledge and apply it to wisdom, and that knowing that we can help those who are in need. And I've learned over the years, it may look like things look okay for some people, but it's really not okay, because everybody's got their problems. But it's lasting fruit. And that's what God wants us to have here, as being his friends, and to be fruit bearers. You see, you know, God wants us to give that. It's important. And so to be a fruit bearer, as we are concluding here today, which I think is important. So what are the friends of Jesus like? What are they like? Well, first of all, there has to be a love of sacrifice to be friends of Jesus. People humanly die for friends, but Christ divinely died for his enemies. In other words, God takes it a step further. If we love one another as Christ has loved us, we end up dying for our enemies. Think about that. You know, as fruit bearers, we have that going for us, that we may abound, that we may remain. Christ was a fruit bearer because he was God. And then we see, secondly, his love was intimate. In contrast to slaves, friends, bondservants, and we were treated kindly, but they were never equal. Christ gave us the hindsight of his mind. You know, let this mind of Christ be in us. So it's amazing when we read the Bible. The Bible is, one person said, black and white and red, right? It's red because we read the words that Christ had said. But yet, he is giving so much of his mind, of his heart, that when we read the word of God, we're just like, I feel like Abraham did. I really feel like I am a friend of God. It's not a feeling, because you can't trust feelings or emotions, some people would say. But I know for sure. I'm persuaded without a reason that I know that Christ, by faith, did what he did. And then thirdly, there was a divine love that was the initiative. Jesus didn't wait for people to love him. He went to go love them. When we're fruit bearers, you know, it's like yesterday I was at the restaurant. I was talking to one of our missionaries there, and this lady was just gagging and coughing. You know, sometimes it's a little bit irritating when you're trying to talk to people and somebody has a very loud cough, you know, all over the place, and you're trying to, or the phone goes off. You're in a restaurant, your phone goes ding, 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 and you're trying to listen to the conversation. Some people turn it up because it's so loud. Well, I thought, you know what? I'm going to reverse this situation. I'm going to think backwards, and I'm going to think forward with Christ. So I went up to her afterwards. I said, how are you doing? And she looked really surprised. I didn't know her. I said, I heard your cough. I'm so sorry. She goes, yes, I have emphysema. She goes, I really am struggling with this. And she was so happy that a stranger came up. But I prayed about it because I was concerned for her. She was so loud. She was gagging and coughing with her husband, you know, and I was concerned. And, No, I didn't give her a gospel track or whatever, but at that time, what I'm trying to say is this, okay? That we care. We take a bad situation, we turn it around for good. Say, you know, hey, can I help you? Can I do this and that? If I had to do it over again, yes, I would have given a gospel track and so on and so forth. I was so engrossed in how she was doing. You doing okay? Sometimes God lays it on our heart to give sometimes a gospel track, other times he doesn't. So I'm not going to beat myself up over that. Okay? So you have the initiative that Christ went out into the world and he cared for other people. Okay? He was a friend to people, a friend to the friendless, the Samaritan woman, many people that were undesirables Christ cared about. And then we see also that being friendly and loving is with productiveness. You know, when you look at a tree, you know, a fruit tree, you want to make sure that it's producing good fruit, healthy fruit. And, you know, you look at it, and some trees, if you go into an orchard, some trees bear, as Christ would say, had said, there are some that bore 30, 60, 100 fold. And so some of us are bearing more fruit than others. It doesn't mean that we're comparing one to another, that we are all in different stages of life. We're all growing. You know, a fruit tree is a fruit tree is a fruit tree, right? We all have fruit trees in our lives, and we want to make sure that they're all bearing good fruit. And it's productive fruit. Okay? And then also we need to make sure that we're nourishing one to another. Are we taking that time to nourish our fruit, okay, that God has borne into our lives? Are we taking it seriously? Our gentleness, our love, our meekness, our patience, our faithfulness, the fruits of the Spirit, are we nourishing that? Are we growing? Are we allowing that to bear more fruit in our lives? And then last but not least is the natural part, is to stay connected to the vine. You stay connected to the vine, that's a good thing, because then we'll walk the walk and we'll talk the talk of Christ. Again, we'll walk the walk and talk the talk of Christ if we abide in there. And there's sometimes when we feel like our opposing forces in our life has cut us from that vine. And we are the branches. It feels like we're just thrown out there because things aren't going right. We can't think right. We can't talk right. But God has that all taken care of because he's the vine dresser. And he comes along and he sees what's going on. And he says, oh, I need to take this little bit off here. It's a little bit diseased, or it has a little bit of mildew. Or these grapes are starting to turn into sour grapes. Look at that last week. Sour is the idea of sin that's in our lives. You know, as I said last week, you know, raisins taste better. All it is dried grapes, right? But they're tasty and they have lots of nutrition. So, but God knows on the inside what's going on the outside, and he comes in and he prunes out those things that we need to have pruned because he's our friend. A real friend will come to you and say, you know, I agree with you, but I disagree with you. I have some real close friends here that have told me, you know what, Pastor, I love you, but I don't think you did what was right. And I want to help you. I want to help you. Not in being disrespected. It's done in love. I want to help you. Now, let me tell you what you need to do. And it helps me. And I appreciate that. Somebody who doesn't love me is not going to say anything. Oh, you're doing a great job. You know, we've had people like that. You did a wonderful job. I don't like people coming over and giving me a pat on the back, rubbing my back. And I'm just like, ew, ew, go away, go away. You know, really, save that for your wife or your girlfriend. Just, oh, you know, don't get in my space, you know. But these people really mean it. And so Christ is a friend to us. So take him today seriously. I wanted to encourage and exhort you all. I thank God that you have, because I can see Christ in you. I can see that love illuminating through you. You say, sometimes, Pastor, I don't feel that way. You know, because of the attacks, there's been a lot of spiritual attacks for all of us these past week. I can guarantee it. But you know, He's got your hand. He's going to guide you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to walk with you. Just stick close to His Word. Stick close in prayer. Stick close for one another. I'm going to close with this. Kim Schmidt, wonderful lady. She moved out to Madison, talked to her. And you know what? There's that Christ-likeness in her voice. She goes, I got boxes all through my apartment. I got Coco with me, the only one who knows me that cares about me. You know, her little dog. But she has a friend in Jesus. And she says, you know what? I got Jesus. And thank you for calling me. And others here that call because she needs you. She loves you. She's got to start all over again. She's got to start with a new church, new friends, new associates. But she has Jesus. So when you're alone, feel trouble, and, you know, like that song says, a bridge over troubled waters, don't even go there. But Jesus is like that bridge. Jesus is there. He'll walk with you over those troubled times. So, yeah, just try to remember that, is that He can be that for us. And what kind of a friend is Jesus like? So He is that for us. He is our love of sacrifice, love through His intimacy, and His love through His intimacy and His love through productiveness. So we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. And then also we're going to take this time to do the Lord's Supper. And we're going to have the ladies come on up at this time. And we're going to take time to examine ourselves, but I'm going to have a quick prayer here, Lord. Just ask you, God, as you continue to work in our lives, help us to continue to draw close to our best friend, and that's you, Jesus. We thank you for this time, and help us to commune and to be meditating on this time of your death, burial, resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray, as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Amen.